Good morning. Welcome to worship. Glad you're here today. A special welcome to visitors. We don't always meet out on a beautiful morning like this, but we try to do it as often as we can. This, for those who are visiting, if you want to come back, we're this summer planning every second and fourth Sunday of each month during the summer to have an outdoor service just like this. So welcome and come again. And we also meet on the other Sundays indoors is the plan. So you're welcome to each. Just a few announcements. I want to draw your attention to the insert in your bulletin, the one that says Inspiration Point at the top. Every summer, as a part of their camp program for the kids and adults that are on site at their camp, they have a passion play, which is a progressive event where you walk to different locations on the camp for each of the scenes in the passion play of the life of Christ, and it's called the Christ Hike, and they open it to the public, and a group of us from Stavanger went a couple of years ago together, and we're planning to do that again. So on July 9th, it's a Friday evening, we plan to meet together for the Christ Hike, so it's for all ages, and you're most welcome to come. If you'd like, you can first meet at the Underwood Quick Stop for a bite to eat. We'd gather there at 5:45. That's right at the main intersection at Underwood on Highway 210, just on the south side of the highway. And if you don't want to meet for supper, but you want to meet to carpool or caravan from there, you can meet at that same location at 7 p.m. And if you just want to go there all by yourself, you can be at the camp by 7:45. Be prompt. They start on time. You can find the camp by going to ipoint.org and find the directions, or you can ask me and I can get those to you. So, July 9th, invite a friend, and what would really be helpful is if you plan to come, please contact me. They have a group of more than eight coming, they just like to know a number so they can make the proper arrangements. So, if you're planning to come, please let me know, you don't have to let me know whether you're meeting for the meal or not, but just so we have a head count for the camp. Okay. If you have questions on that, you can talk to me, or Joy right here can also help fill you in on that. Also, just note that we have our regular Shady Oak Bible study this Wednesday at 7. Church softball at De Lagoon Park, 6:30 this week. You can go out and root our team on. And coming up a few weeks down the road, at the end of July, last Sunday of July, 2 to 6 p.m., plan to have out at De Lagoon Park a family fun time for all ages, fellowship meal, lawn games, just a time to be together, play together, get to know each other, and that's coming up on July 25th. If any time while you're here this morning you need a restroom, the best way would be just to go down the hill here on the side. The basement door is open and there's restrooms directly ahead of you as you go into that door. And if you have an offering and want to leave that, there's a box down at the end of the sidewalk right at the edge of the parking lot. If you didn't find a bulletin, that's where those are too. So, did I miss any announcements? No. Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. Outreach group is, Stavanger Ladies Outreach is serving donuts following the service, so if you're so inclined, stick around. It should be good. And we have some prayer concerns that we'll be sharing later in the service. And if you have any additional, we'll take those at that time. Well, that being the announcements, let us turn to the Lord in worship. Our call to worship from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I call to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for giving us this beautiful day to gather here to hear the birds sing your praise, Lord. May our voices join them in giving thanks and praise to you, our Creator and our Redeemer. Lord, may you bless this service and all who've gathered here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay, the girls are helping us, and even the littlest one is helping, we think. So we'll see how we go. Okay, sing along with us, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace and the sun forbear to shine. name, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Please continue singing with us, Everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Strong and kind.
I should.
Thank you, worship team. Let us continue worshiping by confessing our sins and hearing God's promise of forgiveness. I invite you to follow along and under confession of sin in your bulletin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us. And for his sake, forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. We'll remember the Hashas as they continue to serve in Taiwan. Received news that the government there has extended their lockdown until July 12th, which, along with other things, is making life a bit difficult and uncomfortable for Ben and Sarah, among many others there. So let's keep them in prayer. We've received word that Audrey's surgery went well. We'll pray for a good and full and speedy recovery and thank the Lord for that. And we'll continue to keep Barb Thompson in prayer for her battle with cancer as well. Are there other praises or petitions that we'd like to share together in prayer? Okay, let us pray. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you do bid us as your children to ask for what we need. And so we thank you that you are a God who loves us, who is eager to give good things to your children who ask. Lord, we think of the victims and of their families, of the rescue workers who are still looking, Lord, to find survivors of building collapse in Florida. Lord, we pray for good news to come from this very difficult and tragic situation, and we pray your peace and strength and comfort for those Lord, who have loved ones who are yet unaccounted for or who have already perished. Lord, we pray for those working around the clock to yet find any who might be still surviving. We pray, Lord, for safety and for success for them. We lift them up to you, Lord, asking your mercy and favor upon them, and that you might be glorified in the midst of this difficult situation. We pray, Lord, for the Hoshes as they endure, Lord, this difficult time for them and for so many around them. Lord, we pray that you would give them grace for each day, for each moment. Help them through this, Lord. And we pray a prayer of thanksgiving for bringing Audrey safely through her surgery. We pray, Lord, for continued good recovery and your blessing upon her. And we pray the same, Lord, for Barb. We pray that, Lord, you would give her relief from the discomfort. And we pray, Lord, that treatments would be effective and not cause further discomfort. We pray your strength and peace for both her and Jerry. Lord, for all those that we lift up before you in our hearts, those who mourn, who suffer loss, who struggle, Lord, with doubts, with any number of difficulties, Lord, may each of us look to you for our strength, for our hope. We ask this, Lord, and that you would bless the preaching of your word and Pastor Eric this morning as he brings it. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord, who also taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, I invite all of the children to come up for a children's sermon, just right up here.
Good morning, guys. What do I have here? What is this? It's water, right? Just regular old water. Now, this water represents all of us here. Me and you and all of your parents and all of humanity. This water represents all of us. Now, how does it look?
Does that look pretty clean to you? Yeah, it is. You might even venture to drink some of this, right? This looks like pretty clear water. Do you think we're as clean as this water is right here? Why not? Why would you say that?
Because we're full of sin.
Because we're full of sin. Do all of you know what sin is? Do you know what sin means? What is sin? Yeah, Lena.
When you do something bad.
Yeah, when you do something bad, right? Sin, yeah. Sin is when we don't love other people, like our parents or our friends or God, the way that we should. And because of Adam and Eve, because they disobeyed God, they brought all of us down into sin, right? So this water is too clear for it to represent us, isn't it? We're not clean and clear like this water. So I'm going to add some dye to it. I think if this water represents us, we probably look more like that, don't we? How does that look? Yeah.
Dark.
It looks dark. Would you want to drink this?
Mm-hmm.
No? None of you guys want to drink this yucky water? Yeah, me neither, right? This is pretty gross water here that you wouldn't want to drink. But God looked down at us. He looked down at our sin, at our brokenness. And he didn't want us to stay like this. He didn't want to leave us all murky and dark and gross. Now, what would happen if I took just a regular glass of water and I poured it in here? What would happen to that good, clean water? Yeah. Yeah, it would turn dark and gross just like this, right? If I added water into this, it would contaminate it. It would make that water gross and yucky too. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that he could come and remove our yuckiness, remove our sin. Like this. This represents Jesus Christ. And he was no ordinary man, just like this is no ordinary water right here. When he came into the world and he gave himself for us so that he could come into our hearts, when he mixes with us, whoa, what happened? What happened there? Yeah, it's all clear now. It's all clean. When Jesus mixes himself with us, he takes away all of our yucky brokenness. He takes away all of our sin, and he covers us with his perfection. God loved all of you and all of you so much that he sent his own son so that he might make you clean and clear like this, so that he might take away your sin, so that you could live with God for eternity, forever. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I think so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for gathering us here today. I thank you for loving us as a father loves his children, and for sending your son to make us clean. I pray that you would turn our hearts and our minds to you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You guys can go sit down. We've got kind of a long gospel text for today. It comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of our Lord. In our gospel text this morning, Mark weaves together two separate stories. The first, beginning with a synagogue leader named Jairus, who falls at Jesus' feet and pleads with him to heal his dying daughter. After Jesus agrees to heal this young girl, the second story begins. While Jesus is on his way, a large crowd follows him. And it's so crowded that people begin to push in upon Jesus. If you've ever been to Disney in the summertime, or really any other amusement park, you know what this is about. You're accidentally bumping into people, they're bumping into you. And in this crowd, there is a woman. And she was seeking Jesus out, hoping that he might heal her, because she had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. Mark tells us that this woman had suffered a great ordeal, that she had seen all of these various doctors, and she had spent all of the money that she had. She now was financially destitute because she was seeking a cure for this disease that she had. And in the end, she only grew worse. So in desperation, she turns to Jesus. She reasons that if she could just touch his cloak, she would be healed. But unlike the previous miracles that Jesus had performed, this woman planned to obtain her miracle in secret. Thinking that Jesus would be none the wiser, she reaches out with her hand and grabs onto his cloak. And she was immediately healed. To her surprise, Jesus turns to the crowd and he asks, "Who touched my clothes?" The woman was filled with fear, and she fell down at Jesus' feet and told him what she had done. Jesus replied to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And then right after that, it goes back to the first story. Some people from Jairus' house come, and they announce that his daughter has now died. She has gone from dying to death. And these people, they ask Jairus, "Why are you bothering Jesus now? Now that your daughter is dead, there is nothing this Jesus can do for you." They were implying that Jesus only had the power to heal up to the point of death. But now that his daughter was dead, so was any hope of her being healed. But Jesus doesn't turn to Jairus and say, "I'm so sorry for your loss." Instead, he says something strange. He says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Now, just thinking as a parent, I certainly could not do that. If Jesus turned to me after just hearing that my daughter had died, and Jesus told me, "Don't be afraid, just believe," I would honestly be a little bit upset with Jesus. I would be thinking kind of like Lazarus' sister, "If you were just here, if you had just come earlier, my daughter would have lived. If you didn't stop on the way and talk to this woman who grabbed onto your cloak and was healed of her issue, if you instead hurried to my daughter, to the important thing, and healed her, she would be saved." But Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Then the first story concludes with Jesus going to Jairus' house and raising his daughter back to life. At first, we might wonder why Mark intertwines these two stories. But if we don't take them together, I think we lose the full significance of them. In both stories, Jesus is sought out for a miracle. Jairus looks to Jesus to heal his dying daughter, and a woman looks to Jesus to heal her chronic flow of blood. Despite this similarity, there are many differences between these two individuals. Jairus is a man. We are told he was a leader of the synagogue, which came with a certain amount of respect. As a man of distinction, we are given his name. Jairus has honor, and he openly approaches Jesus with a direct request to heal his dying daughter. By contrast, the woman is nameless, and her sickness rendered her bankrupt and ritually unclean. To make things even worse, according to Levitical law, anyone she touched became unclean. She was separated from her community, and she was unfit to even enter the synagogue. This woman had no honor. These two characters occupy opposite ends of the economic, social, and religious spectrum. but in search of a miracle, both seek Jesus out. Jairus and the woman were both desperate for Jesus' healing touch because they both felt the effects of living as sinners in a broken world. And we are no strangers to those effects today. We too face death and disease. If nothing else, 2020 was a reminder that we live in a sinful and broken world. It was into this broken and sinful world that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose from the grave so that he might reconcile you to God. It's worth pointing out that touching either the woman or Jairus' daughter should have rendered Jesus unclean, just as clean water is contaminated by murky water. But Jesus was no ordinary man. Jesus did not become unclean when he touched them. Instead, they, the unclean ones, were made well. Jairus and the woman were searching for a miracle, but instead they found the Messiah. Healing the woman and raising Jairus' daughter from the dead are truly incredible miracles, but they were only temporary. One day, Jairus' daughter and this woman died. These miracles that Jesus performed aren't the point. They testify to the point, which is that Jesus Christ is God, that he is the promised Messiah. Regardless of your situation, whether you find yourself respected or in disgrace, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are confident or terrified, no matter where you fall on the economic, social, and religious spectrum, Jesus offers himself to you. Jesus' life, along with his death, grants life-changing healing. It is a healing authority that crosses all boundaries. Jesus chooses not to leave us in the conditions in which he found us, and he has the power to alter our condition. The two stories found in our gospel text today are linked together by faith. Faith in Jesus. Jairus and the woman both seek Jesus out in faith. There were many people in that crowd who bumped into Jesus, but only the woman was healed, because only the woman touched him in faith. When that faith came into contact with the Messiah, she was immediately healed. Well, like the woman, Jesus longs to call you his child. In the midst of all of the pain and suffering, the chaos of this world, Jesus says to us, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. Because Christ came for you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son into this world that we might be made clean through him. When we are desperate, turn us to your Son that in him we might find true hope and healing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Yes, amen. Our closing chorus. receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.